from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back again in English Bulletin for today. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and My Indonesia. We will continue our program with news in brief, Indonesian Wonder, and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo said, ASEAN must increase disaster management cooperation. Indonesia fully support the peace process of two Koreas. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo emphasized the association of Southeast Asian nation ASEAN to increase cooperation with Japan in disaster management. In the 21st Asian-Japan Summit on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo focused on one issue, disaster. Because over the last three decades, 40% of disasters occurred in the Asian region. 90% caused fatalities and 50% has an impact on the economy. This was stated by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi at a press conference at the Suntec Convention Center in Singapore on Wednesday, as reported by Antara News Agency. Minister Retno explained that President Joko Widodo affirmed that the problem of the disaster has been felt by Indonesia. Natural disasters cannot be prevented, but victims can be minimized, and it is also ensured that there are sources that can be used to support the rise of affected areas. Thus, it is important for ASEAN to enhance cooperation through early warning mechanism, development of disaster, resistance infrastructure, and humanitarian assistance on disaster management. President Joko Widodo asked China to take part in the collaboration to implement the Indo-Pacific cooperation concept. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo said at the 21st Asian-China Summit meeting on Wednesday that Indonesia and China are facing regional security challenge not only in the Pacific but also in the Indian Oceans. ASEAN and China have no choice but to collaborate in facing the challenges. He also explained that one issue he wants to underline is the importance of ASEAN and China to strengthen Indo-Pacific cooperation. He added that ASEAN and its partners have to cooperate closely in facing global uncertainty and challenges. The Indo-Pacific would not isolate a country in international relations and regional cooperation, but the concept is designed to promote openness of regional cooperation. President Joko Widodo welcomed the peace process of the Korean Peninsula. At the Asian-South Korea Summit, President Joko Widodo said that the strong determination shown by President of South Korea, Moon Jae-in, to create peace was greatly appreciated by the world. President Joko Widodo perceived that President Moon Jae-in's determination was one hopes amidst uncertainty that is hampering the world today. The National Radio News Agency reported that President Joko Widodo at the Suntec Convention Center in Singapore on Wednesday said that Indonesia fully supports this peace process. This message of Indonesian support has been consistently conveyed by President Joko Widodo at the meeting with the South Korean Prime Minister and North Korea's Special Envoy ahead of the opening of Asian Games 2018 last August. However, this effort has not ended. Both South and North Korea still need time and a long way to truly create peace and stability on the Korean Peninsula. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. United States Agency International Development USAID believes that civil society that represents citizens can assist in the process of policy formulation, service delivery, and government oversight. The U.S. government through USAID is honored to be able to contribute to the first Indonesian Civil Society Forum, which raised the theme Building Capacity to Ensure Sustainability, which took place in Jakarta on Wednesday. Ministers, expert staff for law and democracy strengthening at the Ministry of Law and Human Rights, Haru Tamtomo, when giving a speech, said that the Indonesian and U.S. government have collaborated to create democratic governance through an agreement document on September 29, 2014.
Kerjasama antara pemerintah Republik Indonesia yang diwakili oleh Kementerian Keuangan.
The document of the cooperation agreement between the government of the Republic of Indonesia, represented by the Ministry of Finance, along with the Ministry of National Development Planning Agency, and the United States government, represented by USAID Indonesia, was signed in the Assistance Agreement number 497 on September 29, 2014. In the cooperation agreement, it contains some points. One of them is cooperation for pillars of do or development objective are related to democratic government.
Atau tujuan pembangunan satu terkait dengan democratic governance atau penguatan tata kelola pemerintahan yang demokratis.
Haru Tamtomo further said that although the terminology between civil society and mass organization is often used simultaneously, actually the two terms are not the same, because civil society organizations are defined as organized civil society can take several forms, such as informal institution without legal entities or formal institution with legal entities. He said that at present, the number of mass organizations in Indonesia reaches 390,000 organizations, or in a day, there are around 50 to 100 new mass organizations formed and registered. The number of mass organizations have proven to contribute significantly to nation building, starting from the colonial period to the present, such as Budi Utomo, Islamic Law Society, Taman Siswa, Muhammadiyah, Nahdlatul Ulama, and Catholic Women of the Republic of Indonesia. Ministry of Agriculture through Directorate General of Livestock and Animal Health has distributed 1,225 Brahman cross cattle to farmers. The policy of providing broad stock is one of the efforts to accelerate the increase in domestic cattle population. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Director General of Animal Husbandry and Health, Ketut Diarmita, said in Jakarta on Thursday that the government has distributed 1,225 Brahman cross cattle to farmers. Through these efforts, it is expected that there will be an increase in the share of domestic beef productions and the increase of commercial-scale business of cattle. In general, the total addition of sires in 2018 is targeted to be fulfilled as many as 6,000 and will be distributed to farmers in 110 districts or cities in 24 provinces, which are cattle centers. Ketut Diarmita also said that the recipients of brought cattle in 2018 are selective groups, both from providing food sources and their experience in managing broad stock. The ministry's target is done within 2 years. The maintenance has developed above 50%. The leaders of Asian countries and China expect the Code of Conduct or COC agreement on the South China Sea dispute to be completed within 3 years. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi at a press conference at the Suntec Convention Center in Singapore on Wednesday said that the Southeast Asian countries and China hope that the consultation process of the COC agreement on the South China Sea dispute can be completed in 3 years. The hope was conveyed when 10 leaders of Asian member countries, China, and the Asian Secretary General gathered at the 21st Asian China at the Suntec Convention Center in Singapore on Wednesday. For years, parties involved in the dispute is one of the world's busiest waters have been holding dialogues to prevent escalation of the conflict. She also said this agreement is a very significant progress to resolve the South China Sea dispute. Expert of Pajajaran University's International Relations Tengku Reza Shah views that it is time for Indonesia to build dialogue with influential countries, including the United States of America, China, Japan, and Australia, in the region to equate the Indo-Pacific concept. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Reza Shah said in Singapore on Wednesday, that Indonesia has to continue to build dialogue with the United States, the People's Republic of China, Japan and Australia to increase bilateral trade and their investment in Indonesia. He also said that Indonesia must then build a period of mutual trust that Indo-Pacific will not harm the four aforementioned countries in the long run. He noted in particular, Indonesia has mobilized ASEAN to jointly change the name of the Indo-Pacific to the Pacific Indo to avoid giving an impression as an architecture made in the United States. In connection with Indonesia's efforts to finalize the ideas of the Indo-Pacific, the first is to take into account the perceptions of various ministries and institutions in the Indonesian bureaucracy, as this Indo-Pacific idea intersects with the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, Regional Closures Economic Cooperation, and the Asian-China Free Trade Agreement been increasingly used to form a legal framework and was well promoted. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. For today's title is Fostering and Maintaining Tolerance in Indonesia. November 16 is commemorated as International Tolerance Day. The United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, set November 16 as the International Tolerance Day, which aims to provide public awareness of the importance of tolerant attitudes in maintaining relations among communities. International Tolerance Day has been commemorated since 1996. How is the tolerance in Indonesia today? Indonesia is known as a plural society with around 1,300 ethnic groups with diverse cultures and languages. Indonesia also has six official religions recognized by the state. These religions are Islam, Protestantism, Catholicism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Confucianism. Although various ethnicity, languages, and cultures and religions, Indonesians still live in harmony because Indonesia highlight upholds the values of tolerance until today. There are many examples that show how interreligious tolerance in Indonesia has been established. Commemorating religious holidays is one example, and this is recognized as national holidays, although the number of followers of the religion is few. Indonesia as a country that highly upholds the values of tolerance has been recognized by the world. Some world leaders who had visited Indonesia praised Indonesian tolerance. The 44th President of the USA, Barack Obama, while speaking at the Porch Diaspora Forum in Jakarta in July 2017, appreciated tolerance in Indonesia. Chief Advisor of the Iranian spiritual leader, Mohsen Araki, during a visit to the office of the Vice President Yusuf Kala in December 2016, praised Indonesia for being able to show tolerance among religious communities. He also said that Indonesia is one of the countries that becomes an example for living side by side, living peace and brotherhood. Nevertheless, Indonesia is not free from some cases of intolerance. In recent years, some groups of people saw that attitude. Law enforcement of law may be a trigger for the emergence of intolerant attitudes apart from economic and political factors. All stakeholders of Indonesian nation are accountable to care, maintain, and foster an attitude of tolerance so that Indonesian future is protected from fanaticisms, conflicts among groups. Thus, both government and mass organizations have to care more and always instill national values and fight for a culture of tolerance and diversity in Indonesia. So peaceful Indonesia without integral conflict is not just a dream. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History. The first information is about Linggar Jati Agreement November 15, 1946. Linggar Jati Agreement was an agreement carried out between Indonesia and Netherlands in Linggar Jati, West Java. The meeting produced an agreement about the status of Indonesian independence. The agreement was signed at the Merdeka State Palace on November 15, 1946, and it was officially signed by both countries on 25th of March, 1947. In this agreement, Indonesia was represented by Sultan Syahrir, while the Netherlands were represented by a team called General Commission led by Wint Smerhond. Its members consisted of H. Van Moot and Lord Killern from England, who acted as mediators in this agreement. The meeting resulted in 17 charter agreements, namely the Netherlands recognized Java, Sumatra, and Madura as the territories of Indonesia. The Netherlands have to leave Indonesia at least on January 1, 1949. And lastly, the Netherlands and Indonesia agreed to establish the United States of Indonesia, or RIST, and the United States of Indonesia have to join the Indonesian and Dutch Commonwealth chaired by the Netherlands. The second information is about the birth of Indonesian badminton player Lee Sumirat on November 15, 1950. He was a member of Indonesian Magnificent Seven, or the Seven Top Badminton Players, in 1970s along with Rudy Hartono, Lin Swee Kind, Chu Chun, Chuan Wahyudi, Christian Hadinata, and Adi Adechandra. Lee Sumirat is known as a humorous and eccentric player both inside and outside the field, even during the match. There was once when he suddenly performed a Sundanese dance before his rival, Sven Pri, a Danish player in the 1979 Thomas Cup. Lee Sumirat won gold medals twice in Asian Games 1966 and 1970, as well as became the world champion in Bangkok, Thailand in 1976. The last information is about International Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease Day, COPD. The International Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease Day, COPD, is commemorated on November 15th. COPD is a term referring to long-term pulmonary disease. The disease blocks the airflow from lungs so that the person suffering from this disease cannot breathe normally. The International COPD Day was initially an annual event founded by the Global Initiative for Chronic Obstructive Lung Disease, which is commemorated every Wednesday on the second or third week in November. Since 2002, the International COPD Day has been commemorated on November 15th. In this commemoration, hundreds of events are held to raise people awareness of this disease. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Welcome back to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll bring you a topic about 70 experts from 8 countries are seeking solution on peat issue. A total of 70 experts from 8 countries, including Indonesia, met to find technical steps and solutions that needed to be done in the study and management of tropical peat ecosystem in Batam, Riau Islands on Monday. President of International Peatland Society, IPS, Gerald Smilowski, hopes that the meeting can strengthen the collaboration of experts so that peatland can provide benefits for the welfare of community. He said they must discuss provide support to the people who live around peatlands. The exchange of information on sustainable tropical peatland management at the meeting is also expected to contribute to the reduction of carbon emissions and control of world climate change. Gerald Szymielski stated that IPS welcomed the formation of the International Tropical Peatland Center, or ITPC, and at least IPS members from 7 countries, namely Germany, Britain, Japan, Vietnam, Malaysia, Singapore, and Australia, also attended the discussion. Head of the Peat Restoration Agency, BRG, Nazir Fuad said, Indonesia as the largest tropical peat country has experience in restoration and management of peat and the results of research on tropical peat ecosystems that can be a capital for cooperation with other countries. He also said, Indonesia welcomed the initiative of international cooperation in the learning of tropical peat ecosystems. In line with Nazir, Head of Research and Development Innovation of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Agus Lustianto, said the formation of ITPC is needed to support the massive activities with the latest knowledge and new innovations resulting from the research and development. The management of peatlands in Indonesia has received recognition from countries in the world as a great achievement. Indonesia is also very happy to be a center of knowledge that has succeeded in the management of forest and peatlands. The second Tropical Peatland Roundtable discussion was also supported by partners, namely the International Peatland Society, or IPS, Japan Peatland Society, or UPS, Research Institute for Humanity and Nature, and the Indonesian Peat Association. In addition to the discussion session, the participants visited three villages which become the work areas of Peat Restoration Agency, namely Lukun Village, Sattohor Village, and Tanjung Sari Village in Tebing Tinggi Timur Sub-District, Meranti Islands Regency, Riau Province. During the visit, the participants watched and discussed the research plot, as well as village community mentoring activities that supported the rewetting, revegetation, revitalization, or 3R approach in peat restoration. Listener, that was today's My Indonesia.
President Joko Widodo emphasized the association of Southeast Asian nation ASEAN to increase cooperation with Japan in disaster management. President Joko Widodo asked China to take part in the collaboration to implement the Indo-Pacific cooperation concept. President Joko Widodo welcomed the peace process of the Korean Peninsula. Minister of Agriculture through Director General of Livestock and Animal Health has distributed 1,225 Brahman Cross cattle to farmers. The leaders of Asian countries and China expect the Code of Conduct, or COC, agreement on the South China Sea dispute to be completed within 3 years. Expert of Panjajaran University's International Relations, Tengku Reza Shah, views that it is time for Indonesia to build dialogue with influential countries, including the United States of America, China, Japan, and Australia, in the region of to equate the Indo-Pacific concept. Listener, that was Nusin Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. You can listen to this program at www.voinews.id.
In today's edition, we will introduce you Santono Gentong tourism object in Pacitan, East Java. Stay tuned. Listener, Pacitan is one of regencies in East Java. To the south, the regency is directly adjacent to the Indian Ocean, so it is blessed with hundreds of beautiful beaches. These beaches become tourist attraction in Pacitan city. Apart from bordering the Indian Ocean, most part of Pacitan region form like limestone mountains as part of Kidul Mountain Range. Therefore, the tourism sector also develops in hilly areas which cover around 85% of its area. One of the objects in the hills of Pacitan is Santono Gentong. From Santono Gentong, you can enjoy the beauty of Pacitan Bay. Santono Gentong is located in Dadapan Village, Pringkuku Sub-District. The distance from the center of Pacitan City is relatively close, which is only about 13 kilometers. The travel time is approximately half an hour through hilly terrain. This tourism site can be reached by using two-wheel or four-wheel transportations. To get to Santono Gentong, you have to buy a ticket at the retribution post. The entrance ticket is quite affordable, which is IDR 10,000 per person. The name Santono Gentong was taken because in the area, there was a hollow stone with gentong or barrel. But now the barrel has been brought to the Ngayogyakarta Hadiningrat Palace because it belongs to the Sultanate. In the past, the region was actually part of the Yogyakarta Sultanate. When you arrive at Santono Gentong, you can immediately see the open view toward Pacitan Bay. This scene looks so amazing. There also can be seen the view of the white sand of Telengria Beach and Pancardor Beach, which is like a crescent moon. The city of Pacitan also looks beautiful from the height. Its beauty combined with the hills that surrounded the city. When the weather is sunny, it is the right time to visit the object in the morning. When the night, the beauty of the Santono Gentong panorama is even more beautiful. Sparkling lights of the Pacitan city look like the stars. When the sky is clear, the stars in the sky will also decorate the scenery. Besides enjoying the view, you can also try paragliding. If you are thirsty or hungry, there are several stalls that sell many kinds of food, such as fried rice and iced tea. On Sunday night, the stalls open until late for those who want to spend their Sunday night at Santono Gentong. That was Indonesian Wonderful Today featuring Santono Gentong in Pacitan, East Java. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is Saturday World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. In today's edition, we will present you information about Garuda as the most punctual airline in Asia Pacific. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesia's aviation industry receives a fascinating achievement because Garuda Indonesia, as the national flag carrier, is awarded as the most punctual airline in Asia Pacific. The latest official airline guide flight analysis report in October 2018 shows that Indonesia, namely Garuda Indonesia, is the airline in Asia Pacific which provides the most punctual flight service. OAG, or Official Airline Guide, is an independent flight database company which collects the OTP data, or on-time performance data. Garuda Indonesia becomes the most punctual airline with 90.4% punctuality among the top Asian Pacific airlines, namely airlines with more than 10,000 flight records. It is followed by Japan Airlines on the second position with 88.6% punctuality. OTP report, OAG, or Official Airline Guide, highlights the performance of both big and small-scale airlines. OTP is an important data to help passengers choose airline so that they know which airline is the most effective one. This is very beneficial, especially for passengers who have a lot of schedules and less time to travel. Every month, OAG releases a report informing about the most punctual airlines in the world. OTP can be observed from the departure and arrival time at least 40 minutes 59 seconds from the planned schedules, including the cancelled flights. OAG has the biggest flight database in the world, including the database of definitive schedules of more than 900 airlines and 4,000 airports. With this database, the largest flight status information in market is processed by OAG. OAG also handles more than 57 updates of flight status every year, processes 1.4 billion requests, and gives detailed if information about the dynamic flight status. Listeners, that was Miss Eleni about Garuda Indonesia as the most punctual airline in Asia Pacific. See you tomorrow.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to nostalgic pop songs from an Indonesian female singer, namely Ruth Sahanaya. To initiate our segment of Music Corner, let's listen to a song Kaulah Segalanya featuring Ruth Sahanaya. Enjoy the song.
Mungkin
Listeners, that was the song entitled Kaulah Segalanya by Ruth Sahanaya. Is a senior singer that began actively in singing since 1987. Her first album entitled Seputih Kasih, which was released in 1987, was successfully sold out in the market. Her name has more increased with the song entitled Kaulah Segalanya. The song narrates about a man who is assumed that a woman who beloved is everything, because she has made his life more precious. The song Kaulah Segalanya, which was released in 1991, is still liked by the music lovers up to this time. Several musicians such as Claresta also arranged the song Kaulah Segalanya. Well, listeners, let's enjoy the song entitled Keliru. Happy listening.
Yang
Listeners, that was the song entitled Keliru by Ruth Sahanaya. The song is one of hit songs of Ute. The song tells about a couple who cannot be able to be wed, since the presence of the third person between them. So they preferred to end their relationship. The song has also ever been rearranged by a young talented singer, Monita Tahalea, in jazz version. Well, listeners, now let's enjoy the next song entitled Bawa Daku Pergi. Happy listening. Listeners, that was a song entitled Bawa Daku Pergi by Ruth Sahanaya. To end today's segment Music Corner, I will present a song by Ruth Sahanaya entitled Andaikan Kau Datang Kembali. See you tomorrow in the next edition of Music Corner. Here is the song and happy listening.
Jalan yang kau temui untuk RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia.
You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.